You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
Okay. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We are still in our Multiply series, and today we're talking about the presence of God. And we're in the book of Exodus. We're going to look at that a little bit. The thing about the presence of God and why he reveals himself to us is because he created us for relationship. Like, that is the existence. That is why we exist, is relationship. He made us to know and to be known. And that is the desire in all of our hearts. Anybody have friends that you have eye conversations with? Grace and I do this sometimes. So we'll be like in a meeting and we'll be like,
oh,
right? Just back and forth. You don't say a word. You just know back and forth, you know, or, I don't know if you know this about Pastor Dan, but the funniest thing in the world to him is when two people try and go through a door at the same time and they hit each other and can't get through. You can watch that all day long. And so that'll happen on TV. And like, I can just hear him laughing in the back of my head. Like, I just know. And, Nick and I, the other day, we went, out with a couple former students, Peggy Sue and Josiah, who's Dan's son, and they were running late, and I get this text, and it's like, we're late because Josiah, period. Late because Josiah. And I just knew what that meant, because I know Josiah, and I just know, yep, that's why you're late, because Josiah. It happened that he had, like, woken up 3 minutes before it was time to go and heard that there was food, and they got in the car, and so that's why they were late. But we just knew because Josiah. And that's part of knowing people, right? When you spend time in the presence of someone, you get to know them to the point that you can foresee how they're going to feel, how they're going to react, what they're going to think about stuff. Anybody ever gotten done with like a family holiday or a place that you are and you get in the car and you're like, but those potatoes, right? And your husband or wife is like, I know, right? Like, you don't have to say, because they know. It's there's that I know right moment when you know somebody. And we all long for that kind of intimacy. We long for somebody to know what we're thinking before we even say it. We long for somebody to understand what's important to us, to understand what's good about us, to understand why we are good people, and to love us, not because you love everybody in that Jesus-y sort of way, but to love us because they know us. That's our desire, and that's something that God created within us. The hard thing with that is the rejection that comes from somebody that knows you is more painful than pretty much anything in the world. When somebody knows you, and they don't reject you because you're wearing the wrong clothes or whatever, but they know, and they don't find value in who you actually are, there's a brokenness that comes from that. There's a heartbreak that just rips you in half. And that is why a lot of times it's really hard for us to make ourselves be known. We all put walls up when that happens in our lives, especially to the people who hurt us. But then a lot of times to other people, like, I'm never going to let anybody know that again, because I can't ever hurt like this again. And there's a vulnerability to being known. But you know what? When you wall off your life, you find yourself unhappy and lonely. You might be safe from the hurt, but you're missing something, because deep within us is a desire to be known. And it's a God desire. And that's what we're going to look at today in Exodus. See, because God created us in his image. And this is one of those parts of his image. God, this infinite God, who like doesn't have like shape necessarily. He speaks shapes. He says earth and it happens. He says water and it happens. Like, he is. And yet he was so hungry to know his people and to be known by them, that he took on shape. In Exodus, he took on the shape of a cloud, the shape of fire, so that they would have something that they recognized in their brain that could compare to him. He took on a name. Like, seriously, what's your name? My name's Joe, right? Like, what's a name? Except for when that name comes along with something where you go, we're late because Josiah, right? You go, okay, there is something that is the essence of Josiah. And God took on a name, and he found the only name that he could come up with that would even capture any part of who he is. I am. I am. And because I am, that's all that you need to know. God, we're slaves in Egypt. Oh, well, I know, but I am. So you're going to be free. Well, but God, that Pharaoh dude, he doesn't listen to us. So I know, but I am. And so we're going to show some power and he's going to listen. But God, there's no food in the desert and we're hungry. I know, but I am. And so I'm going to turn dew in the morning into food. Well, but God, we don't know where we're going. Well, I know, but I am. And so I am going to take on the form of something that you recognize, even though I am formless and gigantic, because I want you to know me. And think about what the people of Israel have seen just in the last couple months leading up to this point in Scripture. They've watched him part water so they could walk through an ocean on the ground. They've watched him send plagues on Egypt. They've watched in one night every firstborn person die. They've watched him spare them just because they painted their doors. They've watched him make food out of and send manna. They've watched him be with them. They set up a tent of meeting outside the camp where they could come and ask him whatever they wanted. They could meet with the God of the universe in a tent. Come over here to my office. God set that up because he wanted to know them so bad. And so he's already told them their Ten Commandments. He's already told them what he wants from them. And they've heard it. Like, he set them up, came in this like fiery cloud and spoke it to them. Don't mess with other gods. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Be this. He took the infiniteness of who he is and what he wants from them and broke it down into their own words. He made his own ideas into human writing, as finite as human writing can be, and put it on tablets. Like, that's how much he wanted to be known by them. And they knew what was right. But here's what happened. Moses went away for a minute. A minute! 40 days, but still, it was not very long. I've got 6 people in my family. 4 of them are kids. 3 of them are under 5, okay? So that makes a lot of laundry. I don't know if you know that, but it makes a lot of laundry. I've got 2 little people in my house all day long, and nobody but me to watch them. And so every once in a while, you got to go downstairs and just switch loads of laundry. Just switch them real quick, right? So what do? Well, you get the Wiggles or whatever other perfect television show that they normally, like, can't hear their name when they're watching because they're so enthralled in it. You turn it on. You give them each a cup of snacks. Whatever you need to do to, like, okay, 5 minutes. I head downstairs to change loads of laundry. About 30 seconds down there, you start to hear of Abraham, my 18-month-old, and you hear, mom, 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 mom. Mom, 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 mom. And I'm like, oh, all right, I gotta go. Right? Pretty soon you hear, Abraham, no! Abraham! From Rosie, my 3-year-old. And pretty soon you start hearing things hit the floor, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta go. I just gotta get this done. Come on, quick. And then pretty soon you're like, oh, mom, oh! 2 minutes. True story. 2 minutes. Come upstairs. And every piece of paper that ever existed in our house is, like, shred everywhere all over the floor. My 3-year-old is on the couch bawling because she's got a huge bite mark on her back from trying to stop him from shredding papers. My 18-month-old is standing on the table, without pants or diaper, just butt naked butt to the world, 2 minutes! 2 minutes to change a load of laundry! And that kind of chaos can ensue. I just interpreted Exodus 32. Okay? Exactly what happened. Moses goes up the hill, and all heck breaks loose. They're like, we don't know where Moses is! We don't know where God is! And I know there's a huge cloud up that mountain, and we can totally still see them, but I don't know where they are! And we're gonna die out here, so we should make a new God! And Aaron, you know, being the responsible 3-year-old, is like, well, why don't you give me your earrings? We'll do that. Sure. Good call. And forms a cow out of their gold earrings and says, here's your God. Nice, right? This, Israelites, is the God who brought you out of Egypt. This, Israelites, is the one who will now lead us on. We are going to have a festival to Yahweh. And they named the cow I Am. About everything that God has done for them, everything that he has done to know them, to be known by them. And a month later, they see no difference between a golden statue made out of their nasty old earrings and the God who set them free. And God, in that moment, is done. Anybody ever been done? I'll tell you right now, when I walked up those stairs that day with the naked baby on the table, I was done. All right? Seriously, 2 minutes, people! I was done. And God is out. He's out. He's like, you know what? Fine. Stand back. I still like you, but I'm gonna smite the junk out of these people. They're gone. I'm gonna start over with you. And Moses in that moment is like replaying everything from the last couple months, going, God, what did we do this all for? Why in the world would we have gone to Egypt and had the plagues and had the... Do you understand what we've gone through for these people? You did that because you love them. God, you didn't bring them out here to destroy them. And he reminds God of his character. He says, God, you're good. You don't have evil intentions for these people. He says, God, you promised them that you would make them a nation. God, you're faithful. This isn't who you are. And God goes, all right, I won't kill them. And as a mom, any of you who are moms know that there's a moment in every day where you go, all right, I won't kill them. Right? Takes a breath. But he goes, you know what? Here's the thing. This isn't what I signed up for. I want to know you, and I want you to know me. And you have completely replaced me by something else. And if that's how you want it, you know what? I am faithful. That is who I am, and I'm going to send you to the promised land. I will send an angel in front of you. You guys go. But I can't go. And here's the best line in the whole Bible. Ready? I'm sorry I cannot go with you. Because I'm afraid I might kill you along the way. That's what God says. I'm sorry, my presence won't go, because you might all die. Because at this point, I cannot look at you. Because you have broken my heart. God's presence is not about fun, tingly feelings that you get in a worship service. God's presence is about us knowing He made himself real to those people so that they could know him. You know how when God's presence is there and you just feel it? And God is known through absorption. I don't know if that makes any sense. But when you're in his presence, you know things that are not audibly told to you. You know his goodness. You feel his beauty. You feel the infiniteness of who he is. You feel this peace that doesn't make sense. You feel who he is. And that is what he, that's why he would ever even share that with us. It's because he wants us to know him. And these people had chosen otherwise. And he's like, you know what? Fine, go. you can have the promises I've given you, but I'm going to keep back what you don't value. And Moses, in the scripture that we read, comes with exactly what needs to be said in that moment. He says, God, you said that you knew my name. And you said that you found favor in me. Moses comes back and says, I thought we were in a relationship. I thought you knew me. And I thought you loved me. God, you can't go without us. If you don't go, there's no point in going. Just take me out of your book. Just smite me now, because if I don't go with you, I don't want to live. I don't want to go anywhere without you. And God looks at him and goes, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I don't care if you guys screw up and are stupid, stiff-necked people. You're my stiff-necked people. I love you anyway, right? If you've ever had a big, fat fight with your spouse or with a really good friend, and you just, like, don't even want to look at them, but then they come with the right thing. They come and they apologize for breaking your heart in that way. And God, in his infinite faithfulness, says, you know what? I will come with you. Because you want what I want. I want to know you. You want to know me. Let's do this. And Moses, in that moment, goes, show me your glory. Like, I just need to, like, hug you right now. Like, just show me who you are. I just want to be where you are right now. And Jesus, and God shows up. And he shows his glory to Moses. And as God passes by, Moses gets that absorption moment like we talked about. And he says, Lord God, you are compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. And yet you don't leave the guilty unpunished. You punish the children and their children to the third and fourth generation. And God, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. There's a moment in the presence of God where you feel this goodness and you go, I don't deserve any of this. I am such a screw up. God, please, just don't cast me away, because I want to be where you are, even though I don't deserve this at all. In that moment, you know that God. And God said, okay, I'm coming. And he set up a tabernacle. He set up, the infinite God agreed to live in a tent for a moment and go with them wherever they went. And he set up a place where they would always know that he was. And they could always come and find him. And after they got settled, he let them build him a box. They let him build him a house. They took the most beautiful, most expensive stuff they could find. But, I mean, they built him a house on his footstool for him to live in. I mean, it's kind of like when your kids build a fort. And they want you to come play in it, you know? You're like, aw, you built this for me, thanks, you know? And that's, God allowed them to do that because he wanted to be known so much by his people. And they continued to be stiff-necked. And they continued and continued and continued to mess up to the point that the temple was destroyed. But God still wanted to know his people. And so he took on human. The tabernacle to the temple to Jesus. God himself came down and took on our earthly bodies and let his infiniteness be contained in a person. And as that person walked around, all you had to do was touch his garment and you'd be healed. All you had to do was hear him speak and you'd be free. All you had to do was be in his presence and you would know God. Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. I am that. I am. Because I am, you can be. And still, we destroyed that temple too. We crucified him. We broke him. And you know what? Then the day of Pentecost happened. And now we get to be the tabernacle. Now the Holy Spirit lives here, and every day, he comes and he talks to us. and we walk down the street and God himself says in our ear, talk to that person. We walk down the street and God himself breathes his presence upon us. And it's really cool. Wouldn't it be cool if you could just like, boom, you're healed. Boom, you can see. Boom, you're not dead anymore. Boom, right? We get really excited about the power sometimes, but we forget that the whole point is relationship. Jesus came to restore relationship. We started at the beginning, we talked about how relationship is dangerous, right? When somebody really knows you, they have the ability to destroy you. And a lot of times we live in really, really well-armed boxes in our lives so that we won't be destroyed by somebody knowing the real us and rejecting it. But you know what? Jesus came to show us what relationship really is when it's safe. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God looked at you in the minute of your grossest sin. The thing that if somebody showed it up on the screen, you would be so mortified you'd never show your face in public again because of how awful you were in that moment. Guess what? God saw that. Mm-hmm. And guess what else? Jesus said, I'm going to pay the price for that. I still love you. I still think you're valuable. I think you're so valuable that I'm going to give my very life so that you and I won't be separated anymore. I love you so much that I'd rather die than live without you. That is what your God said about you. And that is the beauty of the presence of God. We sang about how Jesus brings us freedom, how the Spirit of the Lord brings freedom. You know why? Who can judge you if God himself thinks you're cool? You know what? That makes everybody else dumb. Seriously. Like, if God himself looked at all your junk and said, you still have so much value that you're worth more than my own life, who can devalue that? Who can take that from you? When you are known by God, then that can become your identity. When you are known by the Father, that value becomes who you are. And you know what? The cool thing about God's presence and being known by Jesus is he reveals to you things about yourself that you didn't even know. This is really fun. When you start messing with ministry, which all of you should do at some point, when you start giving out to other people and doing things that he asks you to do, when that Holy Spirit is in your tabernacle talking to you, saying, go do this, go do that, you discover stuff that you didn't even know you were good at. Over the last few years of ministry, God has created in me a heart to mentor, a heart to like sit with people and hear what's going on in their lives and talk them through it and help them understand their next deal and help them problem solve and help them be better. And I get full from that. Like it's like being high. Not that I've ever been high, but I'm guessing it'd be totally like that. But you just walk out of the room and you feel like you could just fly, right? Like, I didn't know that I was necessarily like that, because before that I was a narcissistic teenager that totally thought the world was about me. So as I got older, as I started to let God show me who I am, as he knew me more than I knew me, and I began to let my identity come from him, I became who I am. I became who I'm supposed to be. Because when God inhabits you, the gifts that he's made latent in you come to life. The person who's hiding in there comes out. When we live in a walled box, we shrivel and we die. Because we were made to know and be known. But when we fully surrender to God and let him know us, and we fully surrender to him and say, I want to know you. I want to know you. I am not going to replace you with something that I have made with my own hands. Nothing else is going to have me bowing to it in my life. I am going to chase you with every breath. I am going to know you with every ounce of who I am. I am going to take my time and chase you. We come alive. God is offering us the deal of a lifetime. And we get the opportunity to be smarter than Israelites. Because we can look back at their stupidity and go, I'm not going to do that. We aren't going to look at him in the face and go, I feel like I could do better. We are going to see that the infinite God has taken step after step after step to make himself understandable to us. Because that is his desire. That is who he is. And we can be safe in relationship. And we can have what he's created us to be. To be known and to know. Today, I want us to commit to a couple things. One, let's know God. Let's put some effort into knowing God. Let's not step into his presence to feel tingles, but let's step into his presence to know him. And two, let's commit to be known. Not just by him, but by others. In those places where people have broken your heart, where you've had that feeling to be like, okay, you're good, but the rest of you are out. Maybe you've like been ready to, I don't know, create a new Facebook account and just be like, I got one friend, I'm out. In that moment, in those moments in our lives where somebody has looked at us in the face and devalued us, let's let God rewrite that story. Let's let God show us who we are in that moment and realize that if they don't see it, it's their stiff neck. It's not that God didn't make you to be the beautiful, amazing person that you are. Let him heal you today. Let some of that healing power of Jesus come and just refresh those wounds and take down some of those walls. And let's know and let's be known. Grace, if you want to come, we're going to pray, and we're going to take communion, and we're going to see the representation of what we meant to God, what he gave for us to know him and be known by him.